No good.
No good.
From the kindnesses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon us, upon his creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared the way for us, la'alos mitoch pachas ma'aseihem, to be able to climb out from the pit, from the ditch, into which they've fallen through their actions, velonus, and to extricate themselves, to flee, mipach pishehem. So the imagery here is very, very instructive. Rabbeinu Yonah depicts chait. Rabbeinu Yonah depicts sin initially as a pit or a ditch into which one falls or stumbles, and then subsequently as a trap in which one becomes ensnared. Both images, but let's focus on the second one, highlight the following. Chet is not something that can be compartmentalized. When Rachman al-Islam, a person sins, so chet is something that ensnares the person. What does that mean? In what sense does chet ensnare the person? As follows. Anything and everything we do is really doubly significant. It's significant because every moment of life is significant, and therefore how we spend any particular moment of life has significance, and therefore what we do at any given moment is significant and meaningful. So that's one dimension of significance to our actions. But everything we do is also significant in the sense that whatever we do generates a momentum. What a person does in life isn't self-contained. If I get up this morning and I put on talis and tefillin and I daven, so that's doubly significant. Those mitzvahs in and of themselves, even if we compartmentalize for a moment, are tremendously significant. But then it's also significant because it generates a momentum. It generates a momentum, part of which can be understood on a natural psychological level, part of which needs to be understood on a metaphysical, spiritual level, but there's a momentum. That's what Chazal say, that mitzvah, goveres mitzvah. It generates, whatever a person does, generates a force. It generates momentum. Hein l'tov, hein l'mutov. That's true if what the person does is positive. It generates a positive force. It generates a positive momentum, but zel umazel osalukim. It's equally true, Rachman Litzlan, if what a person does is negative, so not only is that moment a negative moment, but it also generates a negative momentum that the person will now need to overcome. He can overcome, but the person's going to need to overcome it. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, chait, he depicts chait as a pach, as a trap that ensnares the person, because it's not self-contained. If a person, I don't know, if I park somewhere which is illegal and I get a $50 ticket, so that's sort of a self-contained error. Doesn't really have any I don't know if we would describe it as a trap that ensnares. But that's the yesod, and it's a very, very, very important yesod. The Rambam depicts this idea of momentum in one context in a very, very powerful and graphic way. At the end of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, when the Rambam is talking about Lashon Hara, so the Rambam describes as follows. He says, Zehu derech yeshivas haleitzim harishayim. Says, this is the path on which people who are scornful and cynical, this is the path in which they tread. Batchila, initially, marvin b'divei havai. They just talk about nonsense. Things which have no value, no meaning. Narashkei. Shenema v'kol ksil b'rov dvar. The voice of a fool is heard just chattering away when all there is, when all you have are empty, hollow shells of words. Umitoch kach, boin l'sapeh b'gnos tzadikim. But there's a momentum there. If a person is just busy with emptiness and vanity, so it reinforces a certain cynicism. If a person has an inappropriate cynicism, if a person has cynicism when it's not justified, when it's not warranted, so mitoch kach ba'an l'sapeh b'gnos ha-tzadikim. So then things escalate from idle, empty, foolish chatter to disparaging tzadikim. Umitoch kach, and then the Rambam says it can escalate even further. If the cynicism, if tzaddikim are not speared from the arrows of cynicism, so then the Nevi'im, the prophets, won't be speared either. And to question and to challenge and to disparage their words. And ultimately, cynicism erodes faith. And ultimately, if a person is sufficiently unduly cynical, it erodes his faith. So this is a sort of a very, very powerful, graphic example of how, again, in the Rambam's case, the Rambam's talking about speech rather than action, but the momentum which is generated. And the similar idea is reflected here in Rabbeinu Yonah's imagery of the chait being ensnared and how tshuva is a way of a person extricating himself from that chait, a person reversing that negative momentum, rachmana litzlan. Tshuva also has the effect, continuing here in Rabbeinu Yonah, lachsoch nafsha min ishachas, to save themselves from the punishment which otherwise would be forthcoming, rachmana litzlan, ulahoshev me'aleim apo, and to remove HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, kaviyochel. Not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide the opportunity of tshuva, but v'limdam v'hishirim lo shavelo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do tshuva. Not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide us with that lifeline, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to take advantage. I'm commanding you to take advantage of that lifeline. Ki yechtu lo, when we sin, l'rov tuvo v'yoshu, ki hu yada yitzvam. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we're susceptible to chet. Shenem atol v'yoshu Hashem al ken yorech atoem badoch. V'imhirbu lifshoa v'limrod, even if we sin greatly, even if we're repeat offenders, rachmana litzlan, ubeged bogdim bogodu, and even if we're literally we're traitorous. I think some suggest that the Lashon Begida, right, in Lashon HaKodesh, means to be a Benedict Arnold, right? It means to be a traitor. The same Shorish, Beged, means clothing. So how does that happen? Okay, so sometimes a word has two meanings that are unrelated. There isn't always some sort of conceptual connection between different meanings of words. It doesn't have to be there. But often there is. So I think it's been suggested that the pshat is, when does clothing first appear? After the chait of Adam and Chava. Before the chait of Adam and Chava, there was no need for clothing. Before the chait, before that misuse of the physical, so then there was no need for clothing. The need for clothing only came about in aftermath of the chait, and that's reflected in the fact that the word for clothing, begadim, is derived from the same root as begida, as being a traitor. Lo saga badam dasei atshuva. Even Rachman Litzlan, we sin egregiously. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not close the gates of tshuva. Shenam ashuvu la'asher ha'amiku sara. V'nem ashuvu vonim shavavim, erpa mishuvah sechem. Repent, wayward children, and I'll heal you. What's more, says Rabbeinu Yonah v'hizba'er, ki atshuva mekubalas gam ki yoshev achote merov tzarosav. Even if a person is only aroused to do tshuva because he's overwhelmed by suffering, the initial impetus for the tshuva isn't altruistic. The initial impetus for the tshuva isn't lishma. Afal pichein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts that tshuva. Kol shekena, much more so if it is altruistic. If the driving force is im yoshev meyiras Hashem ba'avoso, shenema batzal lachom tza'ucha kol advarim ma'ele ba'achas hayomim, when you'll be in distress. And all these, excuse me, all these difficulties and forms of suffering will envelop you. V'shavta ad Hashem alakecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts that tshuva. Here comes Rabbeinu Yonah with a gewaldige chiddush, and very, very, very important. V'hizboi b'Torah, ki yazo Hashem lashovim, kasher en yativam maseges, v'yichadish b'kirbam ruach toho lahasig malas avasa. The Torah explains that what a person cannot achieve on his own through tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant him. As long as the person does, excuse me, what he or she is capable of, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the rest. I'm sorry. Shenema, how do you see that? Well, let's just read the proof text and then try to reflect on this for a moment. Shenema, v'shavta ad Hashem lokech v'shamata b'kol k'chol shanochi mitzavcha yom ato v'nach b'chol avof v'chol nafshecha. This is your part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us. You have to repent. And then, v'omi v'gufa inyan, once you take those first steps and you get as far as you're capable of getting, umol Hashem lokech es levavcha v'es levav zarecha, La'avas Hashem Elkecha. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant us the rest. Even if we cannot propel ourselves all the way to Avas Hashem, what's asked is that we do what we can do. And what's beyond our ability, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifts us. This is not only philosophically important and fascinating, but it's very, very practically important as well. How so? Oftentimes, when we look at a challenge, and specifically in the context of tshuva, and we think to ourselves, there's no way I'm capable of doing what's needed. The task is greater than my abilities, my energies. The challenge is one that I cannot successfully meet. So Rabbeinu Yonah's perspective on that is, we may be right about that. We may be right about it. In thinking, imagine again, let's use Rabbeinu Yonah's imagery of either the pachas or the pach, whether it's the pit or the ditch into which a person falls, or whether it's the trap in which a person becomes ensnared. It may in fact be true. If I fall into a 20-foot ditch, how in the world am I going to climb out of that ditch? Maybe I can try to a little bit, I don't know, push myself up a little bit. But it seems, it is, at times, entirely unrealistic to think that I can climb all the way out of that pit. So our reaction to that would be, so then the whole thing is a futile effort. So why embark on an effort that I know cannot succeed? And what Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us, again, this is why it's so crucially and vitally important, not just philosophically, but practically, is that maybe so. Maybe to traverse the entire path of tshuva, to climb out of the pit entirely is beyond us. But all we have to do is do as much as we can, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu completes the process. The Chovos HaLevavos has a similar, he doesn't say it in the context of tshuva, it overlaps with Rabbeinu Yonah in that he presents it in the context of Avas Hashem. And the Chovos HaLevavos says that in truth, Avas Hashem is not something that can naturally be attained. No matter how much a person devotes himself, no matter how much a person commits himself to that pursuit of Avas Hashem, it's beyond naturally, it's beyond a person. A person cannot attain it naturally. But he says, when a person has gone as far as he can, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu completes the process. The moshel is, imagine you have a skyscraper. When a person climbs as high as he can on the staircase, in the stairwell, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the express elevator that brings the person to the top. I'm sorry. Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim has this idea with regard to Kedusha. Kedoshim to you means Prushim to you. It means to cultivate a spirituality that isn't weighed down by our physicality. Now that's just about a contradiction in terms. Says Ramchal, that's what the Torah means, that v'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. You, addressing each of us, do as much as you can. It's tchilaso avoda v'sofo gemul, Ramchal says. If only we do what we can towards that pursuit of Kedusha, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows what's beyond us. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us here in the context of tshuva. And again, its practical import is that we should never, ever be deterred by our estimation that something is, that the avoda of tshuva is beyond our capacity, because there's no such thing. Because what's needed and what's expected is as much as we can do. And even if that doesn't get us out of the pit, it doesn't get us extricated from the trap, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. He says, tshuva is a main focus of Kisvei HaKodesh. From Tanakh, from Torah Shebichsav, one is able to identify all the essential elements of tshuva, which is what the Shah Harishon of Shari Tshuva is devoted to. Let's at least begin a little bit the space here. Veda, says Rabbeinu Yonah, ki hachote kashe yis'ache loshu mechatoso, yichbad olav ma'od onsho b'chol yom. There is here a fundamental dispute between Rabbeinu Yonah on the one hand with the Rambam on the other hand. Rabbeinu Yonah, in Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion, it's quite clear, every mitzvah has its time frame. The mitzvah of matzah on Pesach is the night of the Seder. If the night comes and goes and the person doesn't eat matzah, so then he's been mevatel the mitzvah, he's neglected the mitzvah. Min HaTorah, the mitzvah of lulav outside the Beis HaMikdash, is only the first day of Sukkot. If that day comes and goes, so then the person has neglected the mitzvah, he's been mevatel the mitzvah. Every mitzvah has its time frame. What's the time frame for mitzvah's tshuva? If a person becomes aware of chet, I'm aware of chatoim, for which I need to do tshuva. So what's my time frame? What's the analog to the night of the Seder in the context of mitzvah's matzah? So Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion that a person is supposed to do tshuva as soon as he becomes aware of chet, a person is supposed to respond with tshuva. That's the clear thrust of this line and everything that is now about to follow here in Rabbeinu Yonah. V'da ki achote kashe yis'ache loshuv mechatoso. No, says Rabbeinu Yonah, K-N-O-W, know that when the sinner procrastinates in doing tshuva, yichbad olav ma'od onsho b'chol yom. It's like an interest, like a loan with compounded interest. The same way that the interest is constantly compounded, the longer the debt is outstanding. So the same is true in terms of the chet. So for Rabbeinu Yonah, what's the time frame for mitzvah tshuva? If I'm aware of chet, now is the time to do tshuva. It's not something which, when I'll have some free time. No, if I'm aware of chet, so when should I do tshuva? Today I should do tshuva. There's a famous Maharsha at the end of Maseches Megillah. The Maseches Megillah says, ends with Vayidab Moshe Hashem is Mordei al Bnei Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu said we should learn seasonal halachas in their time. We should learn hilchos chag b'chag. The halachas dealing with sukkahs, we should learn on sukkahs, the halachas of sukkah and dalad minim. Hilchos Pesach about Pesach, about Chometz, Umatzah, and Hilchos Atzeres about Atzeres, and the halachas to do with Shavuos and Shavuos. So the Chazal in that context don't mention learning the halachas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why not? So says the Maharsha famously, because they could have. They could have said, on Rosh Hashanah we should learn Hilchos Shofar. That would have fit into that sequence. But Chazal didn't, because they were afraid we would misunderstand that what they meant is that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur you learn Hilchos Tshuva. The same way on Sukkot you learn Hilchos Sukkah. And on Pesach you learn about Chametz and Matzah. So on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur you learn about Tshuva. And the Maharsha says, but that would have been an erroneous understanding. Because tshuva isn't seasonal. Tshuva is something which is halacha l'maisa, which is operative all year long. And for Rabbeinu Yonah, that means, even in the sense, if I'm aware of chay today, I have to do tshuva today. When the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, introduces the mitzvah of tshuva, he doesn't give us any indication of what the time frame is. Kol mitzvah shabbat Torah ben esei ben lo saaseh, kshiyavo odom al aches mehen. When a person is doing tshuva, he needs to articulate the tshuva. Doesn't give us any indication what the time frame is. The Pashto says, when he says later in Perik Beis, that Yom HaKippurim huzman tshuva lakol, v'hu keitz mechilo slicha l'Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim is a time of tshuva for everyone, individual and collective. It's the time for forgiveness. The Rambam is saying, no, the Torah cut us some slack here. Should a person do tshuva right away? Optimally, absolutely. But in terms of what's the analog to the night of Pesach eating matzah, if I'm aware of chait, so then the Torah says, I need to attend to that by Yom HaKippurim at the latest. If you take a look in the Sefer Chinuch says this explicitly as well, that one has only neglected the mitzvah of tshuva if I'm aware of the chait and Yom HaKippurim comes and goes without my doing tshuva, then I've neglected the chait. And Rabbeinu Yonah is staking out this different position. Okay, maybe we'll stop here for today. Lina and Nitz Hashem, I hope we'll be able to continue.
You are unmuted.
Thank you very much, Rav Tversky. We're looking forward to continuing to learn from Rav Tversky next week on Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
Yasha Kochecha, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.